Wow, that was wonderful. What a treat. And we don't have to pay. We get the orchestra, we get the choir, we get the congregational hymns, and then the special, and praise the Lord. Good morning, and so good to be with you all this morning. We always look forward to being here at Beacon. Love your dear pastor and thank the Lord for him. And it's so good to see so many out in the Lord's house this morning on the Lord's Day. And I want to just take time to welcome those who are watching online. Appreciate you tuning in and being with us this morning. I'm going to ask you to mark 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then our text is taken from Matthew chapter 13. Might touch on a few other passages, but would love to have you look at these two. We'll get to 1 Corinthians 2 in a little bit, but we're going to be mostly in Matthew chapter 13 this morning. Now let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, this morning our hearts have been truly blessed already. We thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you for the blessing that it has been to so many lives. So many lives have been transformed as a result of the ministry here at Beacon Baptist Church. We don't take it for granted, and we give you thanks. Thank you for each one that's here today. Each one that's listening today. And Lord, without your help, without your enabling, I am a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, and we sure do not want that. So I pray that the Holy Spirit might help me, be our teacher and guide. Speak to us, I pray now, in Christ's name. Amen. So we're here in Matthew chapter 13 this morning. And the Lord, the Bible says, is speaking to great multitudes, a variety of people. Some like him, some dislike him, but they all want to hear what he has to say. And in the first three verses of Matthew 13, the Bible says that the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables. Verse 3 says that the Lord spake many things to these people in parables. And Matthew records this particular parable of the sower and the seed. And we find the parable recorded in verses 3 through 9. We just heard the reading. A sower went to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and so when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then he ends the parable by saying, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear," which means, pay attention to what I'm saying. And then the Bible tells us that his disciples came to him and asked him a question in verse 10. "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And so verse 10 this morning is the dominant thought of the message or the lesson. Why did Jesus speak in parables? This question has been asked on many occasions. Matter of fact, The question which has been asked even more often is, why is it that God didn't lay out the Bible more simply? Why is it that God didn't make the Bible more straightforward? Why is it that he didn't make it more easy to understand on a surface level? Maybe you have asked this question, or maybe this question has been asked of you. One of the questions that I have been asked is the Bible laid out in a sort of a code? Does the Bible have a secret message? And is there some sort of decoder to decipher it? And of course, we can say with assurance, absolutely not. The Bible is written according to God's omniscience, according to God's omnipotence. Isaiah 28, verse 13 says that the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. The word precept means direction given as a rule of action and conduct. So the Bible, the word of God, is unto us direction given as a rule of action and conduct, one built on top of the other. The verse goes on to say, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. In other words, it's given in small portions in a systematic way. So if we're to take that verse in Isaiah and break it down, the word of God is direction that's given as a rule of action or conduct, given in a small portion at a time, systematically. The Bible is not a novel like Moby Dick. You know, Moby Dick was written by one author, and it's the story of a ship captain who seeks vengeance on a whale because that whale was responsible for him to lose part of his leg. And you read the story and you find that this captain chases the whale all over until finally the whale sinks the ship and the captain dies. Now, no matter how many times you read Moby Dick, that's what you're going to get out of it. And if you've never read it, I'm sorry. I spoil it. Bible is not like that. The Bible is a complex, multi-layered library of 66 books written by 44 different men over a period of 1,500 years. And the Bible's writers were spread out on 3 different continents. Different cultures, different languages, different genres and styles. And most importantly, different dispensations. But the Bible is united in harmony and intent and does not have one single contradiction. And so to understand the Bible, one has to know the author of the Bible, and that's God himself. Because the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So when people say, well, men wrote the Bible, men were the writers, but God is the author, and those men were borne along by the Holy Spirit and told what to write. So when we read this, we're not reading the words and thoughts of human beings. We're reading the words and thoughts of God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. And the wonderful truth that we can rejoice in is this. When someone receives the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, the Holy Spirit immediately indwells that individual and then opens their understanding so that the Bible becomes clear. That's what happened in my life, and I'm sure that's what happened in your life. Trusting the Lord Jesus as Savior does not just give us the assurance of going to heaven when we die. We also receive multiple benefits and blessings. You can read some of them in Ephesians chapter 1. And in addition to that, we're given the Holy Spirit who illumines our understanding, and the Bible becomes our everything. We're able to understand the Word of God. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. This is one of the passages I had asked you to mark. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now I have that underlined in my Bible, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. One of the ways that we understand the Bible and get to learn the Bible is to compare scripture with scripture. So it's definitely not like reading Moby Dick. It requires us to study and search. And this is what Paul was encouraging young Timothy to do. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or rightly handling the word of truth. So in order to handle God's word properly, we need to discipline ourselves to study God's word. Amen? When he was on earth, the Lord Jesus issued this exhortation, search the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, the Bible says that he had to open the understanding of the disciples so that they could understand what he was saying. The psalmist prayed, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, verse 18. And so what is absolutely clear is that God did not make his word a mystery. God did not make his word that needed to be deciphered. It's not a secret code. It is clear, but we have to know the author and have the Spirit of God to help us. The way that God has laid out the word of God or the Bible is absolutely perfect, just the way God wants it. Now, what does all of this have to do with our message or our lesson for this morning? In our text, Jesus is teaching a parable to thousands of people, a vast multitude. And many or most of them did not have a clue as to the meaning of what he was saying. And yet, Mark chapter 4, verse 13 tells us that Jesus explained that this particular parable is the key to unlocking all the parables. And so his disciples were perplexed. And they approached him with their puzzled mind, and they asked him in verse 10, Why do you speak to the people in parables? Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why not just speak plainly, Lord? It's a good question. And first, let me just start off by defining what a parable is. A parable is a short story which teaches a very important truth. A little bit more to it, but we'll get to that in a minute. So a parable is a short story that teaches a very important truth. And the Lord Jesus spoke more than 40 parables throughout the Gospels, each one teaching an important truth, each one containing similar structural aspects. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let me share a little anecdote with you to illustrate. 4 very good friends had the great fortune of being accepted by the same college. So they went to high school together, they lived in the same neighborhood, and this one college accepted all 4. They enjoyed college life, sometimes a little too much. And in their first year, at the end of the 3rd semester, they were facing a major exam. But instead of studying and preparing, they decided to go out and party all night. And the time slipped by because they were having a good time. And finally, reality set in at 5:30 in the morning. And then reality quickly turned to fear. There was no way that they were going to be ready for this test. So they put their heads together and they concocted a story and decided to tell the professor that they went out. When they came back outside, the car tire was flat. They opened the trunk and to their amazement, they found that the spare tire was flat. And so they decided the only way to get back to campus was to push the car for miles. So yeah, that sounds like a good story to me. Let's go with that. Then they all rolled around on the ground until their clothes were soiled and sweaty. And then they didn't change. They went to see the professor early that morning, gave him their story. The professor listened, and to their amazement, he looked at them and said, "Go get some rest, fellas. Come back in 2 days, and I'll let you take the exam." Well, they used those 2 days to study hard, and they arrived at the professor's office ready to go. And he told them that they were going to be placed in 4 separate classrooms. They didn't mind because they were confident. They had studied. They were handed the exam paper, and there were only 2 questions on it. The first question was worth 1 point, and it says, "Write your name legibly." 1 point. The second question was, this is worth 99 points. Which tire was flat? So happy that you're listening. Simple story. But all of you reacted the same way. The names of the boys was irrelevant. The name of the college was irrelevant. The name of the professor was irrelevant. The type of car was irrelevant. What matters most is that we all understand the story. We all could relate to the story, and for the most part, we can all perceive the moral and consequential lessons of the story. And one more thing, this never happened. It's just a story. Well, it might have happened, but that's for another time. But this particular story didn't happen. Well, the Lord Jesus' parables were earthly stories that people could relate to, and all of them had an underlying heavenly meaning, but they never actually happened. And the reason that he gradually told more and more parables, by the way, he taught over 40 parables. I think I mentioned that before. The reason he gradually moved to parables is because the people were rejecting his plain, clear teachings prior to the parables. So his answer to his disciples was, "Those who hear my words but are not interested in listening to the divine truth, all they will hear about is the sower and the seed." And that's it. He says in verse 13, therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. But praise the Lord for verse 16. He says to his disciples, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So many people were dull of hearing for various reasons. But thank God there were some who heard and took it in and wanted more. You know, I could go to a secular college one day and stand before a group of students and tell the same story of these four boys that cooked up this story. And I'd probably hear one knucklehead say, well, these dummies, they didn't cover their bases. They didn't think of all the possibilities. Why didn't they just send text messages and then they could get it on their Apple Watch? And if I heard any knucklehead say something like that, I'd say, look, man, you've missed the point completely. In the parable that the Lord Jesus taught, it didn't matter what the sower's name was. It didn't matter what type of seed he was sowing. It didn't matter what month or year it occurred. What was most important was the last statement. He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear. What I'm saying to you is of vital importance that is going to affect your eternal destiny. Please listen up. And those who were listening with spiritually inquiring ears would continue to follow the Lord Jesus and to discover the heavenly truths that he was teaching. Same thing happens today. There are some people, and you could sit in an auditorium like this, and some people are thinking, man, did I lock the front door? I should not have left that pork in the stove. I should just wait till I go home. Wonder where we're going after church. And you have others. Tears are screaming down their cheeks because they can relate to the love of Christ. That's how it works. And that's why the most important aspect of the parable was the soil, which represents the heart of human beings, as we'll see in a little bit. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and ears, for they hear. I never tire of giving thanks to God for opening my eyes and opening my ears so that I could trust his Son as Savior. And as a result of that, my life was changed. It would never have happened if my eyes and my ears hadn't been opened. And so the Lord gives the disciples who have this inquiring mind the interpretation of this great parable. He says in verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, the word of God, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, that means immediately, with joy receiveth it, yet hath no root in himself, dureth for a while. When tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the world, by and by he's offended. I remember one time I preached a funeral, and there was a gentleman there who came to me and said, man, that's what I need. And I said, I almost called his name. I said, I'll come and visit you. Let's just make arrangements. And I tried and I tried and I tried. And to this day, he has never allowed me to come talk to him. And I've seen him after and he's just frivolous, flippant. So in the moment, people get caught up. But if they don't respond then, the devil can come and take it away. The cares of this world come and take it away. That's why the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And that's why preachers will sweat and cry and beg, because they understand that the immediacy of that decision is so important. Because we can hear in church and say, that's what I need. And then go back to their life. He goes on to say, he also that receiveth seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But praise the Lord for verse 23. I don't want to do this, but how many are verse 23 people in here this morning? He that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some hundredfold, sixtyfold, thirtyfold. It's the condition of the heart that determines the outcome of the seed. And so this word parable literally means to come alongside or to accompany. And Jesus chose aspects of the people's culture and the way of life so that they could readily relate to what he was saying. And then he interwove spiritual truths into the story. So the sower is the one who proclaims God's word or God's truth. The seed is the truth of God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the ground is the heart of the human being. And what happened with the seed is a picture of the condition of the hearts of those who hear. And the outcome determines an individual's eternal destination. Some people hear God's word and they just dismiss it. Ignore it. Others hear it, temporarily are interested, but then cares of life and the pleasures of life choke it out. Others hear it and realize the importance of securing their eternal soul. Mark 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul? And this realization causes many to hear more and eventually trust Jesus as their Savior. And we all need a Savior, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. The payment for that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus died to pay for our sins. And then he rose from the dead, conquering sin, hell, and the grave. And asking him to forgive us, to forgive me of my sin, and be my personal Savior, results in salvation. Romans 10 verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a definite. And it's that simple. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And after this happens, there should be a desire now to grow in our faith. There should be a desire to learn and mature and be established in the faith. Romans 1 verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the more we learn and the more that God reveals to us and the more we act on it and obey it is the more he's going to reveal. So it is important to be moving forward to be growing. And that desire comes after salvation. Progressive growth and development of faith is a sign that the seed is producing hundredfold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And this is something that Paul rejoiced in and gave God thanks for when he heard it taking place in the lives of the Thessalonican Christians. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. That's the desire we should have, growth. We have to guard against that danger of being stagnant, complacent. We have to cultivate that desire to hear, to learn, and to grow. But unfortunately, there's a different outcome for those who resist the truth. They hear, but they don't believe, they don't accept. And those who question the word of God, those who delay acting on the word of God, they can become insensitive to the word of God. And whereas they could sense God speaking to them, they could sense that conviction, after time, there's nothing there. And that's a dangerous place to be. Rejection and unbelief will result in the hardening of the heart and the dulling of the hearing. And so the admonition in Hebrews is, take heed, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. It's a sad picture. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he healed the sick, he gave sight to the blind, he fed the hungry, he gave hearing to the deaf, and he taught the people the truth of life. Matter of fact, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the reactions of the people were extremely diverse. Some responded with hostility and were determined to kill him. And others came to him in simple faith and received him. And the exact same thing happens today. Sure, parables can be challenging. Many parts of the Bible can be challenging. I don't understand it all. But with the help of the Holy Spirit and prayer and books written by godly men and faithfully attending a church like this where your pastor is preaching and teaching truth along with all of the others, we can come to the knowledge of truth and grow and be established in the faith. And always remember, the Spirit of God lives inside us to help us with that growth. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. It's a privilege to be able to read the Bible, understand it, and be blessed by it. Dear lady came to me this morning, and she was saying, I followed your instructions from last time, and the book of Hebrews just was a blessing to me. Thank the Lord for that. How privileged we are, but we should never take it for granted. And here is the admonition that I want to close with this morning. It's from the Apostle Paul to those whose eyes and minds have been opened to understand spiritual truth. He says in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So what was once a mystery to us before we came to know Christ has now been opened up, and we are now stewards of that mystery. The gospel, redemption, justification, sanctification, glorification. And all those things we learn, we have a grasp of. We are now stewards of those truths. We are now stewards of what was a mystery to us. And listen to what he says in verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we have a responsibility to share what God has opened up to our understanding, not just to keep it to ourselves. I had a preacher friend one time, he would say something like, man, Hugh, I found something in the Bible, but it's so good, I think I'm going to keep it for myself. I mean, he's older than I am, and I respect him, but we're supposed to be conduits, amen? And as God gives to us, we give to others. We're stewards of the mystery of God. Let us be faithful stewards. Amen? 1 minute to 12. Wow. Well done, Black. People don't have to speak a lot in church for the preacher to know that they're with him. I see it in your eyes. I see it in the way you listen. And I appreciate it because it encourages me. But when we hear, we have a responsibility to do what we've heard. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your help this morning. Thank you for the liberty to preach your word in this church. Thank you for the desire that the folks have to hear and to learn, to grow. But with a large number of listeners and hearers like this, we can't take for granted that everyone here knows Christ as Savior, or everyone here has that spiritual desire to grow. Only you can do that work. Only you can work in that heart to draw people to yourself. And so our prayer this morning is that you'll work in every heart and every life, in the auditorium and online, because you have purpose for each one of our lives. But we have to be yielded to you to be able to fulfill that purpose to our full potential. And so we just ask that your will be done. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just want to ask two quick questions. You're here this morning and you say, Hugh, nobody looking around, please. Hugh, I can't tell you for sure that if I died today, I'd be able to go to heaven. I'm just not sure. But I'd ask you to pray for me. If you're like that, just slip your hand up, put it right back down. I'm not calling your name. I'm not embarrassing you. I just want to know if, God bless you, sir. I'm not sure. If I died today, I'd be able to go to heaven. Please pray for me. Lord bless you. You hear this morning and you say, yes, I know the Lord as my Savior. I remember when I received him as Lord and Savior in my life. But to be honest, I am not growing the way I should, and I know it's my fault. I've allowed certain things to creep into my life, and It has slowed that growth. I need to get back to that place where I'm growing in Christ. Pray for me. If you like that, would you slip your hand up? Bless you, bless you. Hands everywhere. Bless you. Father, you see the hands, but most importantly, as we see in this parable, what's important is the heart. And so search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. Do in my life and in the life of these dear folks what would be best for them and honoring and glorifying to thee. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.